Welcome to Ray and Tay. Today is Monday. Woo! Hey, hey, welcome on this Championship Monday, this post-playoff wild card Monday. This is Ray and Tay, and I'm Ray, Tall Rayside.
And I am Tay, Eric Taylor. Ray, I'm hyped. It's busy. I mean, we got everything. College football, BCS, we got the injuries, NFL playoffs, wild card weekend, NBA injuries, everything going crazy. I'm hyped, man. So listen, you guys want to join the show, have some fun with us, get on the ride, it's 718-664-9098. You can hit us up at raeandtaytoday@gmail.com. We love getting your emails. We thank you so much for participating, listening, just checking us out on the iTunes podcast. Also, it's the same thing, Ray and Tay Today at Facebook and at Twitter. So, continue to rock with us. We really appreciate it, and we just love giving you tidbits, and we love breaking down sports with you on a whole new, fresh, and cool way. So, Ray, let them know how we're going to rock today, man.
We got a full show today. We've got breaking news, a lot of coaching movement. We've got some injuries. We'll go through all of that stuff. We'll talk a little bit about the bowls that were played over the weekend, and specifically
Johnny Manziel
football. I gotta start my apology letter. Even though I've been promoting him all year, I just
no. You've been
that
down
Oklahoma,
with him.
Yeah, I was down with him all year, but Oklahoma, oof, they got slapped with the Johnny Manziel.
You picked
stick.
Oklahoma, and I had Texas A&M.
I did. I picked Oklahoma. I missed on that one, but we'll do that. We'll go quickly around the NBA because this is a football show today. We got a lot of football stuff going on. We'll go through the four wild card weekend games, the two games on Saturday, the two games on Sunday with all the rookie quarterbacks and a little bit of controversy and injuries and so forth. And then we'll finish up the show for all you BCS fans, the game, the 35th bowl. The most important one, the national championship, to play for the glass football. They got to do a better job with that. They got to have a better, don't you think? They got to have a better.
Yeah, maybe they should have like a human foot.
I don't know about a human foot.
I'm joking.
A little nasty, but no, I don't know about a glass ball. You know what I mean?
Well, how about a platinum football?
Yeah,
says number one. You know,
maybe something you could throw around. Anyway,
they need
so
Ray,
got,
Ray and Tay to. They need Ray
yeah,
and
we'll
Tay
design
to get
something
them.
For them. We'll design something
yeah.
for them. But yeah, so we've got Notre Dame and Alabama, the undefeated Irish against the one-loss Alabama Crimson Tide for the national championship.
The fighting.
So let's
Irish.
Kick it off.
Yeah.
Let's kick it off with.
Well,
the
listen,
Lakers.
Before I start getting up in this news, I just want to announce, obviously, on CBS, the February 2nd, NFL Honors will be giving all their awards. We're going to have it on Twitter and Facebook, and we're going to do the Ray and Tay Awards. And this is for the NFL season. So I'll be, we'll be posting up some stuff on, our Facebook, and people can vote. And on Friday, February 1st, we will announce our winners of Coach of the Year, Rookie of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year, Comeback, MVP, and all that jazz. So,
what about Radio Talk Show of the Year?
Oh, we already got that one locked down, man. We're doing it. So, we'll definitely do that. And so look out for that. And, just vote and you can even call in on February 1st. Tell us who you think. Email us, at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com, your picks for all those awards. So here we go. NFL, let's go with the Seahawks and in that loss with Chris Clemens, torn ACL. Wow. He's done. They go on to Atlanta, and he won't be able to play. Obviously, we got some breaking news. The Washington Post, you know, reports about a partial tear in Robert Griffin III's knee, the knee that's been hurt. They're saying it's a partial tear of the ACL and the LCL. We already knew this year he had the LCL sprain, so we'll see. He's going down to Pensacola, Florida to see Dr. Andrews tomorrow, and we'll see what happens as he gets examined, and they had the MRI late last night.
The good thing is that he's got a full, you know, 8 or 9 months to recover. But you hate to see a guy get injured in his last game. Well, especially Clemens, who's got more games to play.
Yeah, no, definitely. Now, going around still in the NFL, obviously, we've got the Cardinals talking to Jay Gruden. Doug Marrone is the coach of the Buffalo Bills. Congrats, Andy Reid. We know, coach of the Chiefs. Congrats. They'll both be getting their staffs together in the next couple of days. Looks like, you know, obviously we all know Chip Kelly. He's back in Oregon, so, you know, go Ducks for that. The Cleveland Browns, it's reported, Ray, they have $47 million in cap space for this year.
Wow.
That's some big news. That's crazy.
Yeah, we were reporting that Kelly was going to the Browns, but we jumped the gun on that one, so we apologize.
Right, yeah, no, Ian Rappaport had that from NFL Network, and we followed up, and some other people did too, but it's, you know, that fell through over the weekend, so, you know.
It's a nice position to be in, though. He's got a nice little thing going up there in Eugene, so Chip Kelly, if he stays or if he goes, it's like he can't make a bad decision, so this guy is in
definitely
a pretty good situation. He could always revisit the NFL next year if he's so inclined. You know, if Marrone from Syracuse can get the job in Buffalo, then you know Chip Kelly, after building what he's done.
And you know Marrone, he's, you know, obviously did a good job at Syracuse, helped sort of turn that program around the last 2 years. But also remember, he's, you know, part of the Sean Payton Parcells tree, and he also worked at the Jets with our man Herm Edwards. So, you know, Marrone is, you know, he's got some chops there. The Bears are going to interview Daryl Bevel. And we hope Bruce Arians has a speedy recovery because, you know, he still might interview with the Chargers and maybe even, you know, with the Cardinals if the Cardinals don't give it to Ray Horton or, you know, or Jay Gruden.
Right.
Now,
they
in
said,
the NBA, Ray.
They said the good thing with Arians is they said it's just the flu. I mean, he just got hit.
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah.
He just got hit like hammer.
You know how that goes.
He's okay.
Right. He was just probably extremely dehydrated, you know, and that's what happens with the flu. And guess what? The dude's exhausted, man. I mean, 9-3 and all the stress and the pressure of being the head coach and running the whole show and, you know, micromanaging and your best, you know, one of your best friends and head coach being sick. He's been through a lot, and, you know, we'll talk about it as we get to the game. How about congrats to Frank Vogel getting an extension for the Pacers, who is doing a great job, you know, having the Pacers up there in first place in the Central with, you know, the injury to Granger and other guys going in and out of the lineup. So kudos to him. And
close
your
to
boy.
The right now, maybe.
Yeah, it could be. I
mean, with
Woody,
the talent that he has, I mean, I know you're going to say Mike Woodson, but with the talent that he has.
Well, and Mark
he
Jackson.
Have...
Mark Jackson, too.
You could actually argue
you
Mark
know.
Jackson has more talent on that team. But, yeah, Mark Jackson is doing his thing. And you know anybody from Bishop Lachlan, anybody from from St. John's.
We got to shout out the boys, the local boys. But going around still, your boy Paul Gasol got a concussion, so he's out. But Dwight Howard out indefinitely with a torn labrum. Ugh.
Apparently that started at the Clippers, and then it just got worse in the Denver game. And he still ended up with 26 rebounds. He had 14 points, 26 rebounds, and 4 blocks with his torn labrum. So even though Dwight Howard has that smile and Kobe wants him to get tougher.
No, he's a tough dude.
Dwight is a tough dude. He's a pretty resilient guy. So playing with a torn labrum and still pulling 26 boards, that's pretty impressive. But yeah, he just has to write this season off to just – his body's just not right. You know, his back's not right. Now the labrum, oh, boy, you just want to see this guy get help.
And then, you know, Cats are also getting waived. The Lakers waived the draft pick, Darius Johnson-Odom. The Wizards waived their boy, Selvin Mack, who they dropped before, and then they brought him back. And then, of course, this is the guy, my man, Harrelson from Kentucky, got waived by the Miami Heat. I actually like Josh Harrelson. Good guy. I got to interview him last year, and I hope he lands on his feet.
He did some
things
for the Knicks last year, especially on those.
He's got a nice game. shoot, pass, rebound. Pretty decent game. And you want to tell everybody? I'll let you. I'll let you announce what's happening with the NHL, man. I heard some rumors. Is there hockey or what?
Oh my goodness. Well, it looks like we're gonna have hockey for 7 to 10 years. So there's some opt-outs, and they have to finalize the details, and the NHLPA has to vote on it, and the owners have to vote on it. But in essence, they came to an agreement. So it looks like there's going to be a shortened season, 40-some-odd games. They're going to have hockey. Hopefully they'll have peace. And for all you hockey heads out there, hockey's back. So
It looks like January 19th, tentatively.
Yeah, you always feel for the fans and for the players, but more so you feel for all the businesses,
the
vendors, and the workers in the stadiums, because you know a lot of cities, if they only have hockey, then that's it. They were shut down, and some, I think 9 cities have hockey and basketball, so those arenas are half full because they obviously have the basketball piece going. But it's good to see hockey back up and going. These guys are. They have some issues, but better to see them play and have them, you know, be on the rink and skating and figure out their differences, you know, in negotiations, as opposed to, you know, losing their second season in 8 years. That would have been terrible.
Yeah. Well, listen, hey, you know, we move on and you know, I think it should all work out. You know, it should definitely all work out. So
let's talk NBA real quick.
Talk Johnny Manziel, but yeah, let's do the NBA also, and that's a perfect segue as we talk about really the, you know, like 7 games tonight, but really it's the Red Sox. I'm thinking about the Yankees Red Sox rivalry, folks. It's the next one in New York, the Knicks and the Celtics. All New York Boston matchups are not good. Rangers, Bruins, whatever it is, right? But the Knicks Celtics, Rondo is suspended 1 game.
Yeah, he needs to stop messing with the refs. This is his third one for interactions with the refs. Now, I like the fact that he has a chip on his shoulder, and quiet is kept. You could make an argument that Rondo is as good a point guard as there is in the NBA. Now, if you ask me, I'd take Chris Paul, but right afterwards, especially with his
right afterwards.
And his Rondo's the man, and you love the chip on his shoulder, and you love the fact that they were calling it the Big Three, and Rondo was like, well, what about me? I'm the man. I'm pretty much the glue on this team. But leave the refs alone, Rajon. I mean, what's going on, man? Just play your game. You're good enough. You're really good. You're excellent.
He's a beast. I mean, that's how I would define him to me.
For a third time. What's going on?
Well, I think there's so much going on in Boston. You look around the league, and I think there's a lot of issues in Boston because of the fact that it's Boston and the pressure of winning, you know, and the pressure on Doc. And that team, it's got a lot of players and a lot of talent, but they're not right. And, you know, maybe they are coasting, you know. But right now, the Celtics are in that spot where they could, you know, barely make the playoffs. Now, I think they will. You know, I think they definitely will, but they're not, they're not number one stunners by any means. And, I got to say, I mean, the Knicks have been, you know, looking pretty good and obviously had a nice comeback in Orlando, started off this weekend, you know, losing to the Magic, and then Melo just went off. And I think, you know, they're going to continue to play hot. You know, they're playing great at home. And I could see tonight, you know, hopefully we get a little bit more, you know, out of Amari and his, you know, constant return. And, you know, the last 2 games he played 17 minutes. So, you know, they're easing him in, you know. But I think being 23-10 and, you know, like 13-3 at home, the Knicks are not cruise control, but they're in a good place right now in the East, number 2 in the East. And the Celtics are 16-17, Ray. You got to believe that, you know, they're going to start to get above 500 and keep it going, you know, but they're struggling.
Not tonight. I tell you what, Rondo and Pierce were absolute Nick killers last year. We could not handle Rajon Rondo. I think he averaged 17-14 against the Knicks and 8 rebounds, almost triple-double numbers.
Oh, yeah.
Pierce we couldn't handle either. But I think without Rondo, they're in trouble. And, you know, they're one game below 500. They're probably two games below 500. And, yes, I think we're in agreement. We both believe that Boston's going to turn it around over the long 82-game season. You have some ups and you have some downs. But they have a lot of talent and experience. And as long as they're healthy enough, they should definitely make the playoffs. But they need to go on a streak. They need to win, you know, 7 out of 10 or something like that, get them up over 500, because the bottom of the East is not a, you know, it's not a cakewalk. They got to leapfrog some teams right now. And I tell you what, I feel like their mind isn't right up in Boston. I mean, they don't know who they are. They lost their identity. They were, you know, in those Tom Thibodeau teams, they were a tough defensive team. And then obviously he leaves to go to Chicago. And then they become a, you know, savvy veteran team. And now, you know, what are they? They're just soft. They're soft and old. I mean, they're, I don't know. These are not the Celtics that we've seen the last 5 years. This is, Doc is probably pulling his hair out, you know, every night. Doc and Danny Ainge are like, wow, we put together what should be a decent team, but just, it just feels like there's no energy in the building. There's no defense. And people, there was a comment that I found interesting. People said that they put on a Celtic uniform and they think they're Celtics. With the implication is that the young guys, the rookies, just kind of feel like, oh, we're Celtics, we've made it. Where the older guys are like, wait a minute, putting on a Celtics uniform means something, you know.
You got to grind it out like Tommy Heinsohn. You know, you got to, Tommy Heinsohn will grab you in the locker room like, what are you doing?
Cedric Cornbread Maxwell in the house.
Yeah, man. JoJo White, all the old cats, you know, Casey Jones. But this is, you know, interesting. Like, okay, look, I say, you know, the Knicks, they'll probably get it. They're only a half a game behind the Heat. 23-9, the Heat, next 23-10. Atlanta Hawks with 12 losses right there. You know, it's fascinating. And to me, I got to think also, we talk about Coach of the Year, the Atlanta Hawks, you know, he's got to be right there for Coach of the Year, the Hawks coach.
Drew, you like him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look.
Well,
nobody,
you know, we love him as a player, but he's coaching his butt off this year with, you know, not an impressive roster. But, you know, I mean, we're not going to stay that long in the NBA, but I just got to say real quick, obviously the Lakers have these issues and the injuries with Gasol and whatever, and, you know, whether it's the non-fight or the fight with Howard and Kobe, who really cares, right? Shaq and Kobe have their issues. But more importantly, it's 15-18. And I don't think they can get things together on the defensive side of the ball. And I just wonder, are they sort of being stubborn and not, you know, bringing in another defensive guard, whether it's a Rajah Bell or a Delonte West? You know, some people are like, oh, I don't want Delonte in the locker room. Well, guess what? You want Delonte on the court because the man can penetrate as a point guard. He can hit tough shots, but he plays defense. And you know, even
you
if Blake is back
too,
healthy.
As a Laker, if you're a Laker fan, you would think, too, that the Lakers are kind of a soft landing, because even though it's chaotic, it seems like it's chaotic, it's actually quite clear who's the man on that team, and that's Kobe. And it's quite clear who's the point guard on that team when he's healthy is Steve Nash. And it's quite clear who's the defensive, you know, shot blocker and intimidator at the basket when he's healthy is Dwight Howard. So you would think that a quote-unquote, you know, problematic or a player that has had some issues in the past goes to a team like a Sacramento or something like that and says, well, I could cause chaos. But I don't think that happens on the Lakers. Look, I think they're old and slow and they have a bad system. It's sort of oil and water with the talent that they have and the D'Antoni system. But I think they could bring in a rookie or bring in a guy, a veteran that maybe has had some issues in the past, because Kobe will, you know, metaphorically or physically slap him up pretty good if the player starts acting up. So why not?
And so
will
my man Meta, Ron Artest, Meta World Peace, you know.
Yeah,
he's a regulator,
you know,
too.
I don't know what Ron does, and shout out to Queensbridge and LaSalle High School, but yeah, I don't know what Meta will do, because Meta's just Meta, you know. He's on his own planet. So why not take a chance? 15-18, you're not going anywhere right now. Bring somebody in, shake it up a little bit.
Yeah, some people even said a shooter like Michael Redd. I don't know. They got to do something. But you know what? Hey, we'll leave that. I'll be like, hey, the Knicks are going to win tonight. Should be a great game. The Garden should be rocking. But it's a football Monday. It's a manic Monday. And we got to just give a shout-out before we get to the NFL playoff games. Texas A&M, big win in the Cotton Bowl. And Johnny Mickey Manziel, Johnny Football. We don't even need to say his last name anymore. He's the Heisman Trophy winner, and he's Johnny Football. Yo, was that impressive or what? Four touchdowns?
You know why it was impressive? You know why it was even more impressive? Because they had, I don't know how many, but let's call it 30-some-odd days to prepare for him.
And couldn't handle him.
It's not as if you didn't have enough tape. It's not as if he's a redshirt freshman and this was the first, second, or third game you've ever seen him. You had a month to prepare from when you last saw him play to the game, to the bowl game. So, Johnny
and he was
Manziel,
who you thought he would be.
Yeah, and Stoops and Oklahoma, you know, it's funny because in the beginning he won that national championship, but he's really underperformed in a lot of these bowl games. And I'm not really here to point fingers or anything, but as a staff, they got to be disappointed that Johnny Manziel ran for 229 yards and two touchdowns. I mean, he threw for 287 and two touchdowns.
Yeah.
You can live with that. He's the Heisman Trophy
winner.
But
for him to run
like
that?
But he ran 17 times for 229 and two touchdowns. So the
you know what that tells you, though?
500 yards and four touchdowns.
No, I know, but it tells you their defense is number one. They're not staying in their gaps. They're not staying home. They're not playing, you know, their sort of their positions. And they're letting him get outside to the corners, you know. And time again, I see Johnny Manziel sort of, you know, breaking loose and breaking out of a, you know, a blitz or whatever. And then he's just gone. And, you know, you got to have a spy, somebody just watching him and, you know, from sideline to sideline and beat him to the corners. That should not happen. And so, yeah, Oklahoma and Stoops should be upset. And, you know, I don't know if he's taken a hit in his talent at Oklahoma. Maybe they've lost their luster in the recruiting. But that defense is not what it was, you know, 3 to 5 years ago. Not at all.
He needs to bring Barry Switzer back as a consultant to just go
as
into people's living rooms and do what he does, whatever that was, and go get him some studs. Go get him some talent. He's actually had some good offensive talent, decent defensive talent, but he needs to get you know, a top five recruiting class out there in Norman, Oklahoma. We need to see
Oklahoma
back.
I'll tell you one thing. You didn't see that much from Landry Jones. I don't know where he gets drafted, but I wasn't overly impressed. I mean, look, the dude's got talent. He'll probably be anywhere from a second to fourth round pick because you know how quarterbacks can just fly up. You know, especially after, you know, a good combine. But you know what I like about college football? We got Mariota at Oregon, redshirt freshman.
Redshirt
Johnny Manziel, Texas A&M,
redshirt
freshman.
Yep.
And then Teddy Bridgewater. Well, I think it's a sophomore.
Yep.
Louisville. But we've got some talent to watch for the next 2 years at quarterback that they are sort of Russell Wilson, RG3, Andrew Luck-esque. That they're athletic and they can run, but they all can throw the ball in the pocket as well. Football's in a good place. I think the quarterback
position
is going to get better.
One final note is that the Georgia quarterback, Murray, said he's going to return for his senior year. So he could have gone out after throwing five touchdowns and 427 yards against Nebraska.
I think it's the right decision, Ray.
You know, Elvis left the building. But he
came
back.
Yeah, no, I think it's the right decision.
And
because you know why?
Working on
he's
his
like,
draft.
He's like, hey, Jarvis Jones is going pro. He might be number one pick. I can come back for my year, maybe get the Heisman, maybe get even win the SEC, and maybe be number one pick or top five pick next year. You know, maybe he doesn't want to be. You know, I think there's stuff he could work on. Right? He could get better. So listen, let's take a quick little break. And then we will talk about NFL Wild Card Weekend. Wow, great games. Ray and Tay.
I got a hip-hop heart and a hip-hop soul. Hip-hop will always take control. Looking for the kids and the brothers doing deep. Cause hip-hop is where I live.
we're back, and we're back to talk Wild Card Weekend. And if you didn't watch football this weekend, shame on you. Because there were some good games. There were some good games. Look, this weekend will be better, obviously, because you got the top four seeds joining the party, or the top two in each conference joining the party, joining the festivities.
Did you hear that stat in the AFC? It's, you know, like just like last year, it's the same Final Four. It's the first time since 1970. That's crazy.
Wow. That's great. That means that football is parity. I mean, there's so many. There are five, six elite franchises maybe, but on any given Sunday and on any given year, you could have, you know, wild card teams going to the Super Bowl and winning the Super Bowl. So let's kick it off with that first game, Cincinnati Bengals against the Houston Texans. So that was the game we didn't agree on, but you sort of felt.
Yeah, kind of. I was half and half, you know.
Yeah,
I'll say that. I mean, Texans are my Super Bowl pick. Right. I was just trying to, you know, give Cincinnati some love that maybe they could have pulled the upset. I got to say this. The Texans defense, Ray, they showed up big time. It's not just 19-13, right? It's 198 total yards of offense. That's what they gave up. They locked down Dalton. A.J. Green didn't even have a catch in the first half. I mean, they you know, hold him to just like five. Your boy, Ben Jarvis, he got going a little bit, but he didn't break 100 yards. What did he have, like 88 yards? I mean, that defense, and it wasn't just Watt. You know, it's Reed. Brooks Reed is back and playing tough. Jonathan Joseph was just all over the field and with A.J. Green. Oh, yeah, he definitely earned that. You know, he's like, yo, Cass rules everything around me. You know, he got it, boy. So I think Schaub was not overly impressive to me. He needs a better game if he wants to, you know, do anything against the Patriots. But to me, it was nice to see Owen Daniels, who did nothing for me in fantasy, but for him to – you know, step up and be back healthy.
Yeah, he carried that offense because, frankly, Andre Johnson didn't do much. The only player, you could argue that Jonathan Joseph
Foster
was maybe the best player on defense. J.J. Watt did his thing too, but Jonathan Joseph was the best player on defense. And Arian Foster was really the only player that came to play offensively on either team. You know, and Arian Foster, let me tell you something. I know you love
him. Well, Daniels was 9 for 91, so that was big.
Yeah, Owen Daniels, and he moved the chains. He definitely, and those were all first down, you know, matriculating the ball up the field catches. But Arian Foster, and I don't want to say something blasphemous because I know you love yourself some Adrian Peterson, but if you gave me
a
choice
man.
Between Arian Foster and Adrian Peterson, and you told me you have to take Arian Foster, I wouldn't be upset. I wouldn't be upset.
No,
this guy
you
is
can't
the
be
real
upset.
Deal. He is the real deal. You know, he for some reason, laid an egg, got hurt and laid an egg in Tennessee and wasn't drafted. And then, you know, but his first few years as a pro have been unbelievable. And that offense,
he's a manimal.
Especially when they won't run right. And his little cutback. And he's so in control, too. He's such a – I mean, he's a pleasure to watch.
Yeah, he's patient.
Pleasure to watch. And if they can get him going, I tell you what, we'll do our predictions on Friday. But if they can get him going, you know, they can beat anybody.
Well, you got to keep Brady right. You got to keep Brady off the field. And you know what's impressive? 4.4 yards a carry. That's what you got to do. That right there, that's getting first downs. I mean, 32 carries for 140 yards. What? But I guess what do you say to the Bengals and the Bengal fans today? They're just not ready. Is the arm not enough? Do the receivers not get open enough? Like what? Can he not handle the pressure, the
it's
defense?
A glass half
you know,
full,
Wade Phillips.
Glass half full, glass half empty type of thing. If you told a Bengals fan that you would be the sixth seed in the playoffs, you'd go 10-6, they'd take that. They'd take that. They
but
would
they were in the same
the
spot
season.
Last year, Ray. You think they want to go to the exact same spot, exact same place, and lose again wild card weekend? If I'm a Bengal fan, nah, I want a little bit more than that. I mean, listen, 14 for 30, 127 yards?
I'm not happy.
You can't be
with
happy with that.
No, I'm definitely not happy with this game. I'm, I was trying to paint the half the glass is half full picture.
Listen, let me tell you something. As a Steeler fan, I'm pissed because if you're going to do that, then we should have been in the freaking playoffs because I think we would have handled the Texans, period.
Well, at 8-8, okay. You got to handle your business and get to the playoffs, first of all.
I know. We did.
If you're a
I
Bengals
know.
Fan, you know, is Andy Dalton the man? I don't know. I think that if he has Gresham and he has A.J. Green and if Mohamed Sanu develops and Hawkins develops, the key to me is Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis. If they get him going, then Andy Dalton is good enough. Andy Dalton is sort of like
and it's a young offensive line, right?
Yeah.
With Zettler, it's a you know it's a young offensive line, and you know, listen, the Texans defense was all over them, and they were up in there, so. You know, I don't knock Ben Jarvis so much. I think the Texans defense just, they just dominated. That line was dominating, you know, and it was also not just, there's also Antonio Smith as well, not just J.J. Watt.
Yeah, no, it's a whole
crew. Yeah, man.
And well, all right, well, let's transition. Let's transition.
We'll go to Lambeau.
Go to Lambeau Field, where 2 hours before the game, it was made public that Christian Ponder couldn't start. Not only couldn't start, but had to be deactivated because he barely could throw the ball.
Inflammation in the elbow. They said, oh, he can only throw 15-yard passes. That's not enough.
And so Joe Webb starts the game. And, you know, that first drive, you thought, wow.
He looked great.
They might have something here because you didn't prepare for this, Green Bay, and he's a totally different quarterback from Christian Ponder. So you're thinking, oh, wow, we might have ourselves a game here. And then Adrian Peterson gets 30-some-odd yards in that first drive or that first drive and a half. And then you're thinking, wow, okay, this little run option. But the Green Bay Packers
settled
got
down.
It together, settled down.
And it was our boy, one of the best corners ever, Woodson.
Yes, Charles Woodson came to play.
Go blue.
And basically the cream rose to the top. It's interesting because Green Bay, I thought they put up 31 points. I thought they put up more points, 31, maybe even 34, but they just took what the defense gave them. And specifically Aaron Rodgers, he's got a little Ben Roethlisberger in the sense that he doesn't get rid of the ball. He stays in the pocket very long, and
he
takes sacks.
So
he was sacked 51 times. That's too much. You can't do that. But the flip side of that is he doesn't throw interceptions. So this guy is an ultimate protector of the football, and he was just took what the defense gave him. So they took away – I don't understand why Jordy Nelson didn't play the first quarter, but Jordy Nelson didn't play the first quarter. They took away Jordy Nelson. They took away Greg Jennings. They took away Randall Cobb. So you know what he does? He dumps it to the running back. He dumps it to the short passes to the tight ends. He's got – you know, he just moves the ball, and then once in a while he gets surgical, and he'll find – you know, Cobb.
Well,
or
Harris
Jones.
Had a big game.
Yeah, out of the backfield.
You know, 5 for 53.
Plays. Yeah.
You know, receiving, and then on the rushing side, he, you know, had his 47 yards. But I'll tell you this, it's unfortunate. You know, you feel for AP, you know, 22 for 99, 4.5 yards a carry. You just wish he could have had more touches. I mean, obviously, Webb, 11 for 30, he's not that accurate, a touchdown, 180. But, you know, to me, it is Aaron Rodgers. I mean, when you're 23 for 33 and, you know, 274 and the Packers sometimes still drop balls and a touchdown. But you know what he does? You're right. He doesn't throw the turnovers, but also he's clutch and he's a surgeon. He hit 10 different receivers in this
game.
That's
crazy.
That's incredible. That's like anybody that can go out and catch a pass, I got you. I mean, that's crazy, yo.
That is
crazy. Yo,
what a distribution.
Dudes are like, you know coming
Jones,
from a
Nelson, Ryan Grant, Kuhn caught
the Gatorade guy. He caught a pass too. You know what I'm saying? I mean, so Packers are tough. 24-10. Their defense held up, and they did what they had to do. And you know, we'll talk about it on Friday and the rest of the week. But I think the Packers they're gonna be tough. They're going to be tough against the Niners. That's going to be – and the battle is really Kaepernick against the Packers defense. That's the unknown. We know the Niners defense and the Packers offense, but it's Kaepernick against Woodson and Matthews, and let's see what happens.
It's a rematch of week one And
yeah, and Alex Smith took care of him, 30-22.
Right, but yep. Alex Smith is not the quarterback anymore. Colin Kaepernick is. So we'll see. We'll see. We'll talk about it on Friday. But, yeah, that's a good game. If you're Minnesota, look, you also have to feel a little bit like Cincinnati, that this has been a good year. I mean, you didn't expect to get this much out of Adrian Peterson, 9 yards short of Eric Dickerson, and to go 10-6 and to be competitive all year with
– with crazy injuries.
Crazy
and no Percy
Harvin goes down halfway through the season. Christian Ponder, you know, had three or four good games, three or four average games, and the rest were below average. So, given all of that, to go 10-6,
that's a great coaching job.
That's not bad. Yeah, Leslie Frazier, good for him. Kudos for him. Put him in the running.
You know, that's the toss up right there. Him or Bruce Arians as coach of the year. That's a one heck of a toss-up. But let's segue to that, right? We go into Baltimore, the last game of the man from the U, Ray, Sugar Ray Lewis.
Did you do your Ray Lewis
dance
when he got out there?
I saw the dance coming in. I'm standing there. I had my son with me watching it. I'm like, you got to watch his intro. I taped it. You know, I'm a Steeler fan. I do not like the Ravens, ladies and gentlemen, but I respect that man. That is a warrior and a football player and probably one of the most inspirational leaders of men you'll find, you know, walking the globe. The Ravens win 24-9, 13 tackles for Lewis. I love how they brought him in on the last game so he could, you know, last play of the game on offense so he could just do the little dance and stuff. I think what you saw in this game was that I think maybe they missed Bruce Arians a little bit. No knock to Clyde Christensen, you know. I mean, he's been an OC and a play caller before, but I just think that this team sort of – it's like they already climaxed last week, right, with their coach coming back, Chuck Strong and beating the Texans. And, you know, they had a great season, but they had to go through so much, and you could just see the rookies, you know. I mean – you have Avery and you got Reggie Wayne, but you've also got Vic Ballard, Luck, the two tight ends, and Allen and Fleener, and you know you got T.Y. Hilton. A lot of rookies, a lot of youth, and I think the Colts are here to stay and they're heading in the right direction. But that was too much for them to overcome. When you have Nada, Suggs, Lewis, and Reed, the Fantastic Four, playing together for the first time this season on the field, there's no way they could overcome that.
Right,
so,
and then they got contributions
from other people,
right? Williams and Ellerby. The Ravens played
Ellerby's everywhere, right?
Like they should have played, and like the way we expected them to play this year. And maybe it was inspired by Ray Lewis doing his thing, you know, his dance, which, by the way, is so him. It's not like he's Hollywood, oh, give me the popcorn, you know, and he's trying to get cameras on him. That's just him. That's how
he
psychs up his team. That's just he's been doing this for a decade and a half, and that's just Ray Lewis. But this game, you know, I hate to be a downer for the Ravens fans, but this game didn't really tell me anything other than the Ravens played like they should have played. So
you know what it does tell you, though? They still can't stop the run
time.
Because young Vic Ballard, 22 for 91, 4.1 yards a carry, it tells you that you could still run on the Ravens. And that's not something you can normally do. So here comes no Sean Moreno.
Yeah.
And a great Manning offense. You know, that's what it tells you. You can run on them. And Reggie Wayne, right? Did he just solidify his Hall of Fame career? I think that's what we saw, ladies and gentlemen. 9 for 114, 12.7 yards of reception. Reggie Wayne is a beast, Ray. Oof.
He really is the veteran who steadies that ship, because if you think about it, T.Y. Hilton and Allen and Fleener and Avery and Ballard, Luck. Now, great job drafting and assembling all this young talent, and the only veteran who's out there peddling is Reggie Wayne. So he really stabilizes that offense, and he is clearly Andrew Luck's favorite guy. He caught 9 passes, but he was targeted 18 times. So, I mean, he's like Linus. He's the blanket, you know, for Linus. I mean, this dude is Andrew Luck's guy. So
he's the Greek man,
nice
Plato.
Combo. What?
He's definitely the Greek man, Plato.
Yeah.
Who's the Greek man, Plato?
What? So,
yo, you
yeah,
know what I liked
Reggie
about
went,
the Ravens, though?
Hats off to Reggie.
Yeah, no, definitely. But you know what I liked about the Ravens? Give Flacco some love. 2 touchdowns, 282, that nice one to Pitta. But him and Anquan Boldin, that's what you like to see. 145 yards receiving and 5 catches. And some of those catches were just incredible.
Well,
you know, he
exactly.
got the touchdown pass.
So that's my question to you. How much of that is Joe Flacco being accurate, and how much of that is just a jump ball and Anquan Boldin, you know, remembering when he was in
Arizona,
and you know he was the man before Fitzgerald got there, and that dude just had a beast-like game. So to me,
that
game was more about Boldin making 2 or 3 unbelievable catches than Flacco being particularly impressive
right.
and accurate. I mean, he was only 12 for 23. Now, granted, he didn't throw any interceptions, but you could argue that if Boldin doesn't come down with a couple of those jump balls, there could have been 1 or 2 interceptions for Flacco. So to me, the jury's still out about Flacco, man. We had the first 5 or 6 games of the season. We thought he was trending up, but he's leveled off, and this is not the time to level off. He's got that big game in Denver this weekend. He's got this contract that he needs to get signed.
But you know what's good
news?
Here's the good news if you're a Ravens fan. There's this young gentleman by the name of Pierce. 13 carries, Ray, for 103 yards, 7.9 a carry. When you have him and then Ray Rice for 15 carries, 70 yards. Bernard Pierce, I mean, they're right there. That's balance, a 1-2 attack.
Yep.
And you can extend Ray Rice's career for another 4 extra seasons that he doesn't have to get run to the ground because of this young kid Pierce now. And that right there is ridiculous. You're telling me that, in 28 carries, you're going to put up 173 rushing yards? That's incredible.
Well,
so
that's great.
I think
now
that's a
run
positive.
The damn ball.
Yeah,
keep
I know, right?
The ball.
Well, you know what? Give Caldwell credit, right? He's the OC now, and guess what? He's running the ball.
Right, which
so,
is funny because he
we'll
came
see
from
that.
That pass-happy offense in Indianapolis. So real quick, Joe Flacco, off-season. We'll talk about this later, but do you extend him? Do you pay him like a top five
quarterback? No, this
is
what I do. This is what you do, right? You franchise him this year, and then after that, you see, I mean, unless you go to the Super Bowl this year, right? If you go to the Super Bowl and he outshines Manning and beats, Brady or Schaub and goes to the Super Bowl, then you give the man the money, right? But guess what? Trent Dilfer said this best. No, no, Marshall Faulk said this best, right? If you ask Brian Billick, he would take Flacco in a minute over what he had those years with Tony Banks and freaking Dilfer, okay? So that right there. He is 100% improvement. So to me, Flacco, he's on the edge of being, not top tier. He's sort of right below a Romo and some of these other guys.
He wants top tier money, though.
No, I know he's not a number one. Look, he's not. He might be the top, the top 12. I could say anywhere from you could rank him anywhere from 9 to 12. It's all debatable. And the top quarterback. So. He's going to get a contract extension, and he deserves one. Because guess what? That's what happens with all these teams, right? You're like, okay, I can get someone better. No, you're not. Where are you getting him from? What are you going to go get Kirk Cousins? Where are you going to go get Matt Flynn? They're not necessarily better than Flacco. Flacco's got the best arm in the NFL, him and Cutler. He's got a cannon. So to me, what it is as the years go on, you just continue to give him weapons, and he'll be your Super Bowl quarterback. He'll be the man. You got to stay with Flacco. He's. I'm not saying to give you don't give him Manning, Rodgers, Brady money, but I give him a 5-year deal, maybe what? 100 mil?
Oof.
Maybe 90 mil, 95? I don't know, but he's going to get a deal.
That's the money
he's gonna
you
get,
want.
He's going to get big money. Maybe not 20 million, maybe 16 million a year, 15 million a year, something, 17, but he's going to get that quarterback money.
Yeah,
so let's go to the place
of controversy.
Let's
keep it in the Beltway. Yeah, let's keep it in the Beltway. So 1 o'clock game. How great is it if you're a Baltimore/Washington, D.C. resident? You had a 1 o'clock game.
My head is down there. All the Maryland Terrapin folks, they're going crazy because some folks are like, I like the Skins. And they're like, I like the Ravens. So everybody, our boy Sean Savoy.
You had a 1 o'clock Ravens game.
You know, Sean was upset.
4:30 Skins game.
Oh, yeah.
And
I talked to Sean, man. He was upset, I got to say. Sean was definitely upset. You know, he was riding Redskins and RG3 all the way. So he, you know, it was hard for him to talk after the game. I got to give Sean a little shout-out. He's, you know, diehard Redskin fan, and they took an L. So, but you know what it was about this game to me? It wasn't even about RG3 being 100%, because he wasn't 100% going into the game. It'd be different if he was, right? But to me, it's about the Seahawks defense, and it's about the lynch mob. Because when you average 6.6 a carry, and you get a touchdown 132 yards, you can't, you know, he's not to be stopped. He's not to be messed with. Russell didn't kill you, but Russell was good. You know, 187 yards, a touchdown, you know, 15 for 26. But the Seahawks are about ball control, you know, third down conversions. Russell scrambled for a couple first downs, you know, get a couple of nice passes to Zach Miller, you know, throw to a couple receivers here and there. But, you know, they're so solid. And I got to tell you, it's sad to see Clemens get hurt, right, with the ACL, because I really think that they could go to Atlanta and upset that team. Now, this is going to be the greatest matchup, right? And Deion Sanders, he's like, y'all want to see this. Before I give Richard Sherman his love, I got to see Richard Sherman and Browner go up against Julio Jones and Roddy White.
You got big receivers, but they're going up against big corners. Because usually,
what a matchup.
5'9", 5'10".
Game
on
Sunday.
Yeah, I want to see this. I want to see Julio Jones and Roddy White, who's been talking a lot of yim yam flim flam.
Well, they always talk to flim flam.
down in Buckhead.
But you know what? It's going to come down to Gonzalez. That's who it comes down to. That's going to be the key of the game.
It might. And here's the thing: if you're a Redskins fan, now let's assume that Robert Griffin III is okay, and no severe damage to the knee, and let's not even talk about this controversy of, you know, should they have pulled him after the first quarter or the third quarter or
whatever. You play your man.
But
yeah.
To me, here's the interesting takeaway that I have from this game, is that Seattle scored a touchdown and a two-point conversion and a field goal. So they scored 11 points in the fourth quarter, but with a bum knee and with Pierre Garçon going down, the Washington Redskins were still leading
into the fourth quarter. 14-13.
And
yeah.
So they have nothing to hang their heads about. They went 10-6. The better team is the Seattle Seahawks. So if they play
they
10
are,
to 8,
all around,
and definitely
yeah.
if they play in Seattle, where you should argue they should have played because Seattle was 11-5. Again, you know,
right.
by virtue of winning the NFC East, the Redskins host the game. But the Redskins were up. The Redskins could have won that game with a little bit of, you know, magic from Kirk Cousins, or maybe if RG3 didn't get hurt, the Redskins could have won this game. So people look at the score and they say 24-14, and then they say beast mode from Marshawn Lynch, 132 yards and his touchdown. This game was close. Going
it was
down
on the table.
Yeah.
It was
I mean,
on the
this, this
yeah.
could have gone either way. So
but you know what? Morris just couldn't get – he had 5 yards of carry, but he only had the 16 rushes for 80 yards. I feel like you needed a little bit more for Morris. And people say what they want about RG3, right? He still had five rushers for 21 yards. That's 4.2 a carry. So, you know, he even when he was limping, he got that 9-yard rush. You know, look, at the end of the day, you're right. The better team won. RG3, you know, 10 for 19, but he was 5 for 11 after the knee was injured. You know, 84 yards, 2 touchdowns. I mean, it is what it is. I feel for them, but, you know, they got to be happy because guess what? They're headed in the right direction. They've got their franchise quarterback, franchise running back, a really good receiver in Garçon. You know, Fred Davis comes back healthy. You know, you draft on the offensive and defensive lines and continue to improve. Get another receiver. The Redskins are
right.
just
Hankerson
fine.
And Moss can fill in roles on that offense.
Yeah.
Yeah, the defensive line gets healthy again. Arakpo comes back. It's looking up. Life is good in Washington right now. He was worth all of those picks that they gave up to the St. Louis Rams.
Oh, yeah, you do that trade every day of the week.
Sure.
Think
Kirk
of how many teams
like
out there, right? 10, 11 teams that really still need a quarterback. You know, there's like 5-6 teams who are like, you know, they don't know what they're going to do next year for quarterback.
Sure.
So it's not easy.
Cardinals. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So Bills. Let's take a little transition.
Oh yeah.
And
this is what
up.
It's all about.
Woo!
We got a shout out though. We got a shout out Golic from ESPN, man. Both his boys playing in the chip for Notre Dame, the Fighting Irish. That's just got to be amazing. You know, I mean, that's just got to be,
you know,
a proud
moment for a father.
Oh, my goodness. You know, you got to be so proud and just so happy. And, you know, kudos to him. But you know what? This one right here, man, it's one of those things where you just say, is Saban and the system and the talent that the SEC has, is it just too much? Because Notre Dame, they beat Stanford, USC, these different teams. You know, Pittsburgh, you know, the list goes on, but they didn't play an Alabama team. They didn't play a big SEC team. This is a whole different type of weight that you're playing up against when you get into the third and fourth quarter. You know, I think Notre Dame, for me, it's Everett Golston. You know, he has improved so much. He's gone through so much, getting pulled in games and, you know, going through, you know, all that he went through this year. But to me,
he's still not very good,
you know,
in the red zone, though.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But he's got to be the one that keeps plays alive so that way his receivers can get open. He can hit his tight end and they can get open when things break down. Because if it's just straight up at the line of scrimmage, Ray, Bama will dominate that line of scrimmage. Over fourth quarters, right? Because to me, Notre Dame is definitely going to be in this game. I just think that if A.J. McCarron doesn't make, you know, any big mistakes, and, you know, he's a veteran, right? You know, he's been starting, you know, since 2011. He's kind of got
a great championship game last year against LSU when everybody thought they would just hand the
coming
ball
out party.
Richardson. He
yeah,
came out and
was
like, wait
a
minute,
out party.
I'm here.
Yeah. You know, and not just that, man. You know, look, he doesn't have the studs that he used to, right? But, you know, Cooper's young, but Cooper's starting to develop as a freshman. He had a pretty decent season. And, you know, and these Bama running backs, you know.
You know what? To me, I look at the talent on the field and I say, wait a minute. You know, Notre Dame is the best defense in the country, averaging just a little over 10 points per game. But, again, they didn't play in the SEC. So they played against an undermanned USC team, an Oklahoma team that was exposed, a Michigan team that wasn't that great, and then they played their normal, you know, kind of Midwest, kind of big state schools that kind of play a different style and a different tempo than the SEC. So their 3-4 is actually pretty good, right? And even despite the fact that they didn't play in the SEC, you know, Manti Te'o and Nix and Shembo and Tua, they've got some talent for sure as a defense. The problem is they're going up against, and I didn't, exactly, I'm not even talking about Yeldon and Lacey and Cooper on offense. I'm talking about those five offensive linemen that are probably the best offensive linemen ever. And here's the thing. Everybody's
talking
about
player.
Jarrett Jones, the three-time All-American, but they're saying that the left guard, Chance Warmack, is going to be better than he is. And who knows, the sophomore right tackle might even be better than all of them. So they probably
projected
have,
out, they say.
Yeah, Fluker and Steen. They have the best offensive lineman potentially ever in college.
It's an NFL offensive line. And Tail might not be able to touch Lacey.
Well,
he might not touch
thing.
Lacey until the, you know, 10 yards in.
And here's the thing. That offensive line is this unbelievable combination of size and power, and they have finesse too. So they can run, they can pull the guards, and they can run these traps. And these offensive linemen are going to be at the second level of the Notre Dame defense, if not in the first quarter and not in the second quarter, certainly in the second half. And the reason why I'm so confident in this Notre Dame, in this Alabama offensive line is because what they did to another 3-4 defense a month ago in the SEC championship game. That Georgia defense had better athletes potentially than both of these two teams in terms of defensive, you know, skills. But they ran for 200 yards in the second half when they were down, right? They needed to run the ball. It wasn't like they were running from ahead and they could do play action. They needed to move the ball. They ran for 350 yards against Georgia, against a top five team in the SEC.
Well, Bama, look, they averaged 5.6 yards per carry. You know, and
that's,
I guess, one of the big
ridiculous
things is can, you know, the nose guard Nix, can he sort of break in there against this great offensive line?
Well, he's a big boy, right? He's 6'3", 326, so he's at least size-wise big enough to
deal with. He can fight with Jones. He, you know, it's going to be a ball. Listen, it's going to be in the trenches, right?
Jones isn't healthy.
Golic,
he's got that, ankle issue.
And your boy Golic's son is an academic All-American, you know. So for the Notre Dame offensive line, protecting Golson and just even seeing if they can move the ball, I guess to me it's going to be about turnovers. I think Notre Dame, their speed might surprise Alabama. I don't think Notre Dame is going to be totally outclassed in this game. But I got to tell you, I think when it comes down to it, you know, it's going to be in the quarterback's hands. And, you know, you're going to have to see the game of his life from Everett Golson. If they want to sort of shock the world and pull off the biggest upset, and they're number one, right? But it's still, come on, everyone knows, it's a big upset if Notre Dame.
Notre Dame's a 9.5-point underdog. When was the last time a number one team in the nation, an undefeated number one team in the nation, playing against a team that has one loss, is a 9.5-point favorite underdog?
Yeah, I just, you know, to me, I look at it, and when I'm honest, I have to pick Bama in this game. I might surprise you with the score, but I definitely have to go with Bama. They, to me, are Saban recruits NFL players. And out of the 22 starters, if we project 4 years out, you know, for any of the freshmen on to the guys that are, you know, seniors and on down, out of the 22 starters, at worst, 18 will be playing on Sundays in the NFL, without a doubt. You know what I mean? And to me, that says it all. Where in Notre Dame, maybe 5, maybe 7, you know? And it's not to say Notre Dame is bad, but...
Well, Notre Dame only has one guy, the tight end, Tyler Eifert, that is
a
physical matchup problem that Alabama won't be able to handle and at least have, at least even, if not an advantage, one-on-one. So Eifert's the only guy that requires double coverage, because other than that, they match up one-on-one just fine. So he's the only guy, and he's going to have a monster game. And like,
and
you
that's
said,
why it's on Golston. You know, Golston is going to, I mean, Everett is really going to be, he's going to have to break it on the corner, and he's going to have to, you know, if they try to contain him, he's going to have to get to the outside. And if he can do that, I mean, enough that, what would you think? If he could pull off 100, 130 yards rushing, they could shock the world?
Oof.
No turnovers?
Yes. Rushes for one touchdown,
throws for another?
I think you need turnovers. I think the only way Notre Dame wins this game is if they have a turnover, maybe even a defensive
score.
Well,
that's where Tao, I'll say this, that's where Tao comes in. Can he read McCarron's and shot, you know, boom, get one and just go? Can he hit the jarring fumble? That's, you know, he has that Chicago Bears mentality. He's live around the ball. He's got that Ed Reed in him. And maybe that's it. But it's time to give our scores. We're winding down.
All right, what do you got?
Show. I got Alabama 24 and the Notre Dame Fighting Irish 23.
Wow.
Roll Tide!
Much closer than I do. I got the
roll
same
tide.
Roll Tide. I got the same roll tie, but I think in the second half, Alabama breaks it open, and Lacy and Yeldon kill him, and then they do some play action, and they go downfield with Amari Cooper, and I think they pull away in the second half. I got Alabama 30, Notre Dame 17.
Ooh,
roll tie.
Okay. All right. Well,
all right,
listen,
another great show. Thanks for hanging with us. Talking sports with friends. We'll see you on Wednesday, where we'll recap this BCS championship game. We'll
great
talk some basketball. Start getting ready for the weekend of NFL playoffs.
Some college hoops, a little bit of everything, NBA, and get ready for the NFL divisional round. So, all right, Ray and Tate, talking sports with friends. We're out. Let's go, Knicks.